This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The Vietnam War, it's over.
You're John Chespagon.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of spycraft. Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Black Girls Living. You are joined with Jazz
and Rick. Sorry if you can hear hoovering. We're recording from home again. It's my fault, guys. I wasn't feeling the best yesterday, and when you just can't be asked to even pretend to be happy. I'm not gonna give you guys a shitty episode, so let me not. But yeah. Hope everyone's doing well.
This week, I wanted to talk about the Black Upfront. Is it? Mm-hmm. Yeah, Black Upfront on Channel 4 this week. I thought that was amazing.
Yeah, it was amazing. It was so good, man. Like I said last week, I was like, I hope everyone supports the thing. Like, I hope everyone watches the shows and just stick Channel 4 on all day because, like, it was so good.
Mm. Like, I don't know. What do you think of, like, the people that were, like, I don't know. I just feel like, you know, what is the right word to call Channel 4? Media outlet, I guess. I was going to say organisation. But, you know, like, sometimes when companies or people try to do initiatives,
mm-hmm.
It's like people are always like, it's not good enough. It's like there's...
Oh, they find faults.
Yeah, they find faults. Mm. And I'm like, I'm the kind of person, I feel like, yes, obviously it would be great if like certain things were done. But I feel like sometimes I don't know, it sounds problematic to say it, but let's take what we can. Like, this is a first step. Mm-hmm. And then it can always be improved.
Yeah, 100%.
But I feel like if we go in straight away and shade it and say it's not good enough, this, that and the other, mm-hmm. I feel
they might be scared. Because organisations heavily run by white people, like, if they get backlash from... If they do something that is to support black people and they get backlash from black people, what their excuse is going to be to not do it again is black people didn't like it.
Yeah.
So we don't want to offend them again, which is pathetic. It's more of a case of go to the drawing board, see where you went wrong and improve.
Or
understand that you're going to get criticism no matter what, because no matter what show you do, even if it's like a show that's really inclusive or it's a show that's... made for a specific type of group. For example, Drag Race. Mm. When they did it in the UK, a lot of people from the LGBT community were really happy. When you look at the lineup, there's hardly any black people.
Mm.
So there's always going to be an issue somewhere. Do you know what I mean? There's always going to be, yes, it's a representative, but it's still not diverse as it could be.
Yeah.
Because you are excusing black people. and Asian people, just people who are not white, basically. Do you know what I mean? No, I totally get what you mean. I do think I saw some critiques, but I just kind of feel like at the moment, because it's the first one and it's a whole day, it's kind of like how they must have had to run the show for 24 hours, as in the night tonight, as in like have like 2 a.m. shows, like 4 a.m. shows. But no, it's not an excuse. They can definitely, you know, there's ways to improve, but if I'm going to be honest, I really, really thoroughly enjoyed it. I liked it a lot. I was watching it for the morning. I watched Mo and AJ on the breakfast show. The Receipts girls were there. Munwa was there. Like, it was a lot of fun, and it made me think in the morning, like, wow, I'd love to wake up to this in the morning. Like, I think I'd be in a better mood. And I saw a tweet, I can't remember who tweeted it, but someone said, if anything, this has made me inspired. Like, it's inspired me to think, oh my God, one day I could write a TV show like Bolu. One day I could present like AJ. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, it's, yeah, and I was like, that's so beautiful. And I was like, sure, it's inspired me because high life, hello, billionaires, millionaires, hello, that's inspiring to me. I thoroughly enjoyed it. And do you remember when Black Panther came out?
Yeah.
And someone, there was a video that went viral, and it was like, this is how white people feel all the time. Yeah, all the time.
Yeah. That is exactly literally what I was about to say. Like, imagine like being white and your existence is just like seen as normal. Do you know what I mean? Like, that is wild. Like, to us, it's like seeing black people presenting shows about black people. Different sort of black people from different backgrounds as well. It's like, why is it, I don't know, it is a case of like, why has this not been done sooner? But equally, like, is this what it feels like to like see yourself on TV like normally?
No, you're completely right. Even like with the adverts, they were either like full on black cast or at least one black person, and it really made you think throughout the day. Like, it made you think, so someone made a tweet, oh, I wish I knew the person's name, but it was like, this means that these places make an active choice not to include us. They make an active choice. And also, it really does make you think, oh my God, this is what it's like to be to feel seen, because a lot of the times when we complain about diversity, a lot of people will say, well, you have, for example, you know, AJ is doing so amazing right now. She's like presenting the Married at First Sight, the after show. She's got like the ITV show. She's doing a lot of things.
Yeah.
So a lot of people say to us, oh, you can't complain about diversity when you've got AJ Dudu.
Yeah.
Okay, AJ's one person. Oh my God, who said it? Someone said something like the fact, oh no, it was Trevor Noah when we saw him. And he was like, when he made the joke and he said something like,
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
When you say to white people they can't dance, and then they say, oh, but what about Justin Timberlake? And he's like, the fact that you can name the one person that can dance,
yeah,
the fact that you can name the one black person on TV shows that it's limited.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And just seeing it throughout the whole day, it was like, it was just so good. And I obviously saw, you know, and I had racist white people in my DMs being like, not DMs, sorry, mentions being like, oh, this is racist. Why are they being political? But it's like, when it's white people presented all day, it's not white, it's not even presented all day, it's a normal thing. When you stick on Channel 4 now, as amazing as that initiative is, you stick it back onto Channel 4, it's going to be just full of white people.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You might get black people here and there, Asian people here and there, but it's predominantly white people. And some people might say, oh, it is a predominantly white country. Okay, how come it's literally just, sometimes it's just white people. Like, I think I said this about the Avengers when I was watching the first three. And I was like, they're having an actual, like, I remember thinking on the third one, I'm just watching white men. Not even white women, white men, just white men. and then they added the white women to kind of, you know, restore balance.
I'm dead. But yeah, I really hate the argument. Like, I'm not going to lie, I understand, like, when people say stuff like, oh, black people are only 3-4% of the country's population. So, what is it? That dumb girl, you know, that right-wing mixed-race girl, Dominique Samuels or whatever. Sorry to say her name like that. But what the fuck?
I didn't even see what she said.
She said something like...
I didn't really see much complaints. I only saw a little bit.
Yeah, I didn't see... I saw people complaining about her tweet, but I didn't see the actual this person, tweet.
I didn't even see... What did she tweet?
Yeah, until this morning. She said something like... I didn't even read the full tweet. I just saw the top line, which said black people are actually overrepresented on TV.
Over? Okay.
Over, yeah. Okay. So...
All right, then.
Well, but we know what she's on anyway. She's literally...
I'm dead.
When I say coon, you say what? I don't know. but anyway, I know why people would think that that is a sensible argument. However, when you add in context and history of black people being told that they're lesser than, of black people being the backbone of this country, black people helping to build up this country to what it is today, I feel like, why the fuck not? And like you said, there are places where, like, for example, in London, I'm not going to act as though I know the breakdown of black people in London, but we are highly concentrated here. Highly, highly concentrated. So why should we not be able to see black people on TV? I don't get it. Why can we just not see black people on TV and it's normal? Why does it have to come down to how many of us are in the country? And when you know that there are particular stereotypes or what's it called, negative views, racist views about black people, then I think, yeah, you do need to make the extra effort to represent us on TV. So that white people are not coming from Bath, moving to London and saying, oh, the blacks are doing this. Used to it. No, yeah, but they come from outside of London. They move to London and they're surprised that there's black people.
They're racist as hell. Oh my God, those ones. Go back.
Yeah.
I sound like those.
You sound like them.
Get back to where you come from. No, they'll come from the places that they have no black people, and then they say, oh my God, I'm so surprised to see you.
Yeah. Like that girl in uni.
Oh, that.
Who came to Brunel and was like, oh, asking you stupid questions.
That willy head, bro. Absolute willy head. Do you know what? Yeah. Just leave us alone. Honestly, like, what have we done to you? Just leave us alone. But yeah, I don't know. I think a lot of people have energy on their... They've got a lot of time and energy on their hands. And yeah, yeah. I really enjoyed the initiative. I think we should be uplifting the people who were there and, you know, supporting them. And if you've got a platform, even if you don't have a platform, just, you know, big up the people then, because it's the decision makers and, you know, that are watching what you say online, and they're going to be like, okay, collectively, it seems like people really love this, so let's bring it back. And maybe do it even bigger. Yeah. Maybe do it for a week, or maybe put stuff in contracts.
Make it the norm, yeah.
Yeah. So
that Big Breakfast show, that has, like, it was discontinued or whatever, and it was Mo and AJ that brought it back, isn't it? Like, it was a special. So, yeah, why can't that be, like, the norm?
Love Island USA, they have a rule that they must have a percentage. I can't remember what percentage. I think it might be 12. They must have 12% of black and Asian. They must have that in the cast.
Really?
Yeah, because they've been criticised in the past. So now they've changed their whole casting team. So they got the casting team who does... I think he did... what did he do? He did something that was really diverse. I think he did like an American show. I think he did Too Hot to Handle.
Okay.
So they got him on, and then now they've stipulated this percentage. So I just thought
the UK could never.
I know. They would never. They would just, you know, stuff like, oh, we're giving you your day. Okay, great. But maybe take on these learnings and be like, okay, maybe we should look at the wider issue. How can we? Do you know what the craziest thing is about the media? There are some people, there are some white people who do want to see a change. They do want to see more people, more black people, more Asian people, black people. Let's talk about black people. This is black to front. Yeah. On the TV or in the newsrooms or behind the scenes. But there's some white people who are so stubborn and so in their ways and so, like, unshakable that not even those white people who want to see a change can even change their mind. And those people often tend to be right at the top.
Yeah.
Like,
and
they... Oh, no, go on, Jess.
No, I was going to say, and those are the kind of people that are still voting for Anton Deck to win Best Presenter of the Year for 20 years.
Mm.
I'm not being funny, but is that not a disgrace?
It's awful. I think Anton Deck should have said, listen, don't vote for us next time. I think
Can they not withdraw themselves or something? It's enough.
Someone pointed out on Twitter that this was actually the year that Ant had run, or I can't remember which one, I never know the difference. One of them had run over someone or had a drunken drive ban.
Hmm.
Imagine if that was a black person and they had a drive ban.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. Even, I don't know if it was the year before that or the year before that, but that didn't make sense what I said. But there was a year where he was in rehab and Holly had to step in to help Deck present, like, I'm a celebrity and all of that. They still won even that year. Like, how does that make sense?
Maybe people felt pity for him. Like, oh my God, you know, he was taking care of himself. I don't even know. All I know is this country, what they love to do, they love to push the same talent over and over again until it's broken. God forgive me, until they die.
Yeah.
So I don't want to start putting hypotheticals in there, but you get my drift.
Yeah.
It would have to be, Dan and Deck are going to be presenting Saturday Night Takeaway in fucking walking sticks.
Not walking sticks.
And also, there's greed. There's massive greed in this country. People can't say no to the bag. That's something else. Even in the black community, we have that. We have people who say yes to the bag. And it's like, why are you doing this? Like, do you know anything about colorism? Are you even black? Like, you see some people taking up space in certain tables and you're like, why are you here?
Yeah. Why are you saying yes
to this? Yeah, and honestly, there's power in saying no to some things. Like, the other day I got approached to speak at this tech conference. I was like, this would be very disingenuous.
Mm.
I don't know much about tech. Let me recommend some people who do. And this was a paid opportunity, but I could say yes and get the money and walk away. But how disingenuous is that for the people who even show up? That this, do you know what I mean? Like, it's not fair. Yeah. I think some people would love to say yes just to get the money and also because it's a good look. But sometimes you have to be very fair to yourself. You can't say yes all the time.
Mm.
Especially when it's black people, like, we don't even have that much opportunity. So you giving an opportunity to someone else, it means that you're putting them on the radar. Because what happens a lot of the times is these kind of like organizations, like, you know, like publications even, they only know like 5 black women or 5 black people.
Yeah.
So they might be like Louise, they might know a Kemi, they might know a Bumi. Do you know what I mean? So when it's like because I've been in a news place where, I'll never forget, there was an issue about, oh my God, what was it about? Oh my God, I can't remember what it was about, but it was mad random. And they wanted let's say it was about, I don't know, this is not a good example, but it was like some eating issue. And they wanted this body confidence woman to write about it. And editor-wise, it just didn't make no sense. Yeah. But it was just a case of, oh, we just want to put this name attached to it. And because they're black, great, brownie points. But when you're black and you're in these positions, you kind of have to ask yourself as well, are they coming to me because I'm black and they want that tick box, we got a black person?
Yeah.
Also, I always use that to my advantage. Okay, cool, you want to use me, cool. But sometimes you have to think to yourself, most white people in organisations know 5 black people who are often pushed to the mainstream, therefore they're cool. So they know the 5. So what you need to do is you need to bring some more on their radar. Yeah. So often, whenever I get an opportunity, I'm like, this is not for me. I will now list 10 people and I'll bring their emails as well. That's why another thing, you not put your emails in your bio.
Mm. Yeah. that makes sense. But it's hard, isn't it? Because I feel like, for a lot of reasons, the Black community in particular has that sort of crabs in a barrel mentality.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we have it hard, big time.
And whenever people say it, it often, like, successful people be like, no, we don't. We're for the culture. We bring everybody in. Do you know sometimes when you're in a different seat, it's you shouldn't talk.
Yeah. Proper.
You know? Proper. Proper. Sometimes, like, I recognise it, like, when I yes or no, we've not got the biggest podcast in the UK and whatnot, but like sometimes I do recognise like when we get like a lot of achievements and we get like really appreciated and stuff. And like sometimes I do feel like, oh my god, I wish that other Black podcasters had the same shine, or I wish that they had the same opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Like, but then sometimes I'm like, it's such a weird one because it's like I don't have the power to do much.
Yeah.
But I do recognise that me and you, we always do try to, not hate bringing people inward, but like, if we have something cool, let me just shut up. But like, I don't know, I think there's something about people winning and being like, well, that's it for that.
Yeah, yeah. Like, for me, personally, like, even if we won that Urban Music Award or whatever, I wouldn't feel like this is a win for the Black community. It's so weird, but it's like, I feel like a lot of people, a lot of Black people at the top, often they can feel like my success means that Black people are coming up.
Success, yeah.
Yeah, it's a Black success.
Sometimes
doesn't
mean that. Sometimes it really doesn't. No. It might just mean, which is great, but it doesn't really mean that sometimes.
Yeah. Really. I just feel like, just be knowledgeable of that. Do you get what I mean? Like, don't feel like, I don't know, it's a win for the culture if you're not furthering or trying to, what's that thing that Brent always says, like, don't pull the ladder up behind you kind of thing. Yeah, so it's like, just try and, yeah, just,
but the thing, but sometimes it is hard to bring the ladder down, because Sometimes I've had situations where, I'm not saying I'm the best journalist in the world, or I've got like lots of experience. Well, I do have lots of experience, but I'm not like the go-to Black journalist, whatnot. I'm happy I'm not.
Girl, beat yourself up.
No. I'm doing bits.
Stop being humble.
But I'm saying, like, I have friends who were like, oh my god, I have this one, like a few friends who, I want to do what you're doing. I'm like, cool, okay. When an opportunity comes, I want to come to you. And then the opportunity comes and they say, oh, I don't want it. But then next week you're going to come to me and say, oh, I want to do what you're doing. How am I supposed... I can't force you to write. I can't force you to... Do you know what I mean? So sometimes you do think, how can I help people? Because they don't even help themselves. And also, it's a case of, I know like a... How do I say what they are? Like a...
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Me dropping out of a media hub, or that they create like shows and stuff.
Yeah.
And it was a Black one, by the way, and they, and in the UK, and they were approached by like a TV channel in the UK to put their show on there. I heard that they didn't even show up to the meeting, and then they rescheduled the meeting, and then they showed up like an hour late. So it's those things where it's like, you can't say, oh, they didn't put us on because we're Black. They tried, and you weren't presentable. You didn't show up, basically. Exactly. So sometimes it's like, you can bring people in. And then they don't do much. And then sometimes you can try and bring people in, but you don't have much influence. Like, for example, sometimes I will send those 10 lists and I see the person they go with and I'm like, why the fuck did you do that?
Yeah.
But there's not much I can do.
Yeah, but to me, I don't feel like that's you. I don't know. Like, I think that's different to pulling the ladder up.
But by the same time, Jess, do some people... Either you help some people and you still... try and help here and there, they'll still use their mouth to be like, oh, no one brings me in.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Ah, that is also very true.
Also, there's also another thing of sometimes you have to bring yourself in.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have to bring yourself. You can't just sit there and go, no one, oh, I'm going to throw my arm. No one's bringing me in, so therefore I'm not successful. Okay. If you're not even putting yourself out there for people to even see who you are, how can people even shout you out or even recognize your talent?
You have to be doing the work before you start saying these things.
Also, it's another thing of like sometimes some people, they're like, oh, I deserve this, I deserve that. But it's like, for example, like you see someone being like, oh, I deserve a radio show.
I would say, but why? I mean, not even in a dickhead way, but...
No, why?
What makes you think I deserve it? Especially ahead of others.
People who... Oh, my God. So I see this thing on Twitter all the time where, like, for example, someone might have, like, really good music takes.
Mm.
And they tweet really good threads on, like, critiquing music really perfectly, you know.
Mm.
And then they'll say, oh, I deserve a radio show. And a group of people be like, oh, yeah, they deserve radio show. I'm like, firstly, some people go to uni to study radio.
Yeah.
Some people are literally working at places like Represent where, or some places like Represent where they don't pay they don't pay much. They work there for years. They build up their name. They build up, you know, and what happens is places like One Extra, they look at these places like, okay, let's scout these people.
Mm.
They go to One Extra, they finally get a show, they finally get recognised, finally get a full-time salary. But some people just think, oh, well, I have music knowledge, so therefore I deserve a radio show. Why? Sometimes you have to, I think I said this in our episode before, stay your pussy game up. Look at what other people are doing and think, if I want to get there, I need to do these things.
Yeah.
You can't just wake up and go, oh, I deserve it because of XYZ. And some influencers do it as well. Like, I remember I saw an influencer, he was like, I deserve a column.
Huh?
I deserve an article, a magazine column. And I remember messaging my friends and I bet you anyone she's going to get that. Because what a lot of times happens is, because it's an influencer and they have following, a publication will just give it to them because they think, oh, well, they're going to bring their followers in to read this. And then all the journalists who don't have experience are just looking at it like, well.
Yeah, 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 for sure. And it's kind of like what's happening with the podcasting industry as well. But it's like an influencer can say, I'm going to do a podcast and this is it. And there's nothing wrong with that because it's weird. It's like the nature of the game. Like it's a numbers game, isn't it? It's all about the numbers. Especially like, when money is involved, it's going to be about the numbers, 100%.
I would say it's a numbers game. But I actually don't have an issue with influencers or celebrities doing podcasts or whatnot. Like, I know I saw the argument online, like a lot of people have issue with it. But I think from a numbers perspective, for example, Nella Rose, Adeola Patron, and Mary Musa, collectively have, let's say, 2 million followers. Not to talk down on me and you, Jazz, because what we do is amazing. But if you were to present both of them to BBC,
yeah, of course,
they would say Black Girls Living cannot bring those numbers in.
Yeah,
and as amazing as we are, and maybe we could, you know, like maybe we put out a trailer and it's really interesting, it engages people. And the thing is, oftentimes these places can produce, can reach
if they wanted
audience.
To
if they wanted to
yeah
but often when it comes to Black people, you need to have that audience. For example,
already
you see some you see some white talent that they work with and you're thinking, I have more followers than them, but it's more of a gamble for a Black person.
Yeah.
So if you have an established audience, it's easier to chart. Obviously you've obviously got to bring you know, your A game on the mic, but it's easier to chart, it's easier to get the YouTube numbers, you know.
Yeah.
But it's just the nature of the game. And sometimes I see people get like really bitter and sour, but I'm just like, your bitterness will not stop their growth. All you've got to, I'm telling you, like you sitting there going like, oh, why have they got a podcast there? Or with BBC, they're influencers. Yes, they're influencers. And they have, it's sad. Like, I remember watching the Charlie D'Amelio documentary on YouTube, Disney. It's a numbers game. Mm-hmm. It is a numbers game. Like, they she has a clothing line with Hollister, and most influencers, when they do clothing lines, it takes them years to even collaborate, like years. So when she did the trailer for it on TikTok, like promoting it, I think he said like he got 1 billion views. And do you know what's crazy? That is a headline. Charli D'Amelio, Hollister, 1 billion views, 1 million, whatever it is. And I can imagine the marketing team being like, hey guys, we've reached 1 million views on TikTok. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
That's not them reaching, that was Charli, but they can use it as their own win. And it's just a numbers game. It's a great, like, for example, if they went with a smaller influencer who was like doing amazing stuff and it would have been a perfect collaboration. Imagine saying, oh, hey guys, you only reached 25,000 views. It's not as glamorizing as the 1 billion or 1 million. So unfortunately, with a lot of things, it is a numbers game.
Yeah, 100%. And I think I don't know. Obviously, I can't speak for everyone who says the whole, oh, influencers have podcast stuff. But I think for me, my only, you know, it's not even a gripe, because I'm happy for the people that are getting their recognition coins, whatever. Like, I'm happy, like, about the whole pressed podcast stuff. And but I worry that these organizations, they, like we said, they choose not to invest in other podcasts, maybe people that are a little bit smaller, not even like Black Girls Living. I'm talking like above, or bigger, sorry, not above. But it's like they would rather, like you said, not gamble on like smaller podcasts, and they'll take, I guess, the easy route. And it's not even, I don't know. It's like when I say certain things, I hope it doesn't come across the wrong way. But no, it's like,
it's factual. Like, but it's not to dampen their shine.
Yeah,
it just makes more sense. But yeah, I don't know. I just feel like it still is a win in the fact that you have young Black women who are funny as hell and great storytellers on a platform like that, and they're very likable. So it makes a lot of sense. But I just feel like sometimes I feel like,
but it's not just them as well. Like, it's not just a Black thing. So I hope people don't think I'm getting onto Black women like that. Even that Chris Ramsey, that comedian or whatever, he and his wife have a podcast, and they're literally plastered everywhere. Like, the marketing behind it is insane. And it's like
the O2, they've got books.
Yeah. Like, literally, their live show is selling out the O2. And, you know, they are, like, the marketing, the effort that has been put into blasting this guy around. And, I'm not being funny. This is not influencer stuff. Like, he's a whole celeb.
He's a celeb, yeah.
So it's like, really and truly, he could sell out a show just for the hell of it. But there's still that sort of media machine pushing, like a whole production team, I'm guessing, like all of this shit and effort. But it's like they would never look at, I don't know, I can't even think of a smaller white podcast. They would never look at that smaller white podcast and be like, let's take a gamble on them. Their content is really good, and this is what we could do with it. It's just, like, and if it was a Black podcast, there wouldn't even be that conversation. There would, I don't even think they would have that discussion in the boardroom. There's no gamble. There's no, let's see what we can do.
No, definitely.
But it's not wholly the case. Like, me and Vic have experienced that whole, like, we want to take a gamble on you conversation without saying too much. Like, we have had that happen, and it was as a result of a Black woman, like, if we're being real. if that black woman was not involved, then that wouldn't have even been a conversation, if we're being honest. So, yeah, sorry, what was you saying, Vic?
No, but there's also another thing, like, in the podcast, it's like, just people being like, they deserve X, Y, and Z, like, I deserve a Spotify deal. And then you ask them, oh, have you messaged Spotify? No. Okay. We'll just manifest with you. Okay. Do you know what I mean? Like, you can't just sit there and say
manifest with you.
Oh my God. We'll just sit there and then just fold an arm and get angry and be like, oh, well, they didn't best because I'm black.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's even have reason to say that before we jump the gun. Have you emailed them? You haven't. They must know who I am. How must they know? You haven't put yourself on their radar. Okay. And how do they know that you want it?
Yeah.
They might think that you're doing ads with... They might think that you're already done. Like, you might have a lot of... You're doing your... Anyways. Girl, I don't even know. What I will say is being a black talent in... Or black creator in the UK is... I think Manny said it, or it was Ro. You better just love what you're doing.
Yeah.
You better not do it for the money. Because it's only one in at a time. Like, you can go to America where everybody shines. Like, I knew this was peak when Leomi Anderson, as in a supermodel, was saying it.
Yeah.
She was tweeting that in America, anybody will collaborate with you. Doesn't matter your size, your platform. Anyone can shine better there. Gina Asheray was saying it years ago that when she went to America, doors were opening. In the UK, one at a time.
It's insane. But they were even saying, like, there was an interesting article that I saw, or tweet today that I saw, and it's like, let me actually get it up. But they were basically saying that the UK is so bad vibes that it's actually stifling businesses and entrepreneurship. Wow. As in, it's affecting the economy, how bad vibes the UK is.
That's insane.
Basically they were saying British people seem to have very little concept of risk other than as something to avoid. No one likes to stick their neck out, and they're much happier criticising new ideas than taking them up.
100%.
Yeah, like, but I've never seen...
We do it all the time. Like, when something new happens, we criticise it. And, like, with the black to front thing, you know, you see criticism, and you're thinking, can you not even let the day go? Let the day go by. Like, we've not seen all the shows yet.
Mm.
Or you're criticising it. Oh, this, that.
Yeah. Yeah, like it's literally, I feel like it's ingrained in British culture. Like, it's not just like in the black community at all. It is just the UK, like, as a whole.
When there's like a new black presenter on like Loose Women or whatnot, they're like, oh, something about her. What the fuck?
Exactly this. And it's like, that's why it will be hard to grow in this country.
Yeah, because it will be.
And that is why we are reliant on, unfortunately, we're reliant on social media, and we're reliant on people that it's such a massive responsibility. And I don't mean that because a black person works at these companies that they have to do it for us. But quite often, if we are given certain opportunities, it's because a black person has put our name forward for it.
Especially smaller podcasts, like, it's definitely black people being like, okay, I listen to that, let me bring them in.
Yeah,
because 100%. It's honestly, like, even like me and Jazz got invited by Sky to go watch Trevor Noah, and it was because of a black woman. And like, shout out to her, like, she was so lovely. But
yeah,
it was just people that are able to open doors. And Jazz even asked her, like, what made you go with us? Like, it's just those things that are so important.
And she literally explained, she was like, you know, like, we can obviously invite like the same old people, the same old faces, but like, I really wanted to, like, you know, diversify. Like, it's not just about the same old names, and, you know, like, let's shake it up a little bit. do something a bit different. So it's like, yeah, it was amazing. Like, this, that was certainly the first time I've been in a box. And I said, so this is how the other half are living.
I know. It was really good. I just felt so free.
Yeah. It was really incredible. And Trevor Noah is actually hilarious. I didn't know how funny he was.
Yeah, that was really good.
It was such a good show.
That was a good show.
Yeah. I don't know. It's difficult. It's difficult in this country. It definitely is.
Yeah, it is difficult. But I just feel like sometimes a lot of people, you know, it's the radio show thing, like that example I saw. But often what we don't see is the people who don't have social media presence that are pushing their radio show, who are pushing what they're doing and can't even get a foot in. So yeah. It's I don't know, it's very hard being in the UK. It's very, especially, like, I just feel like the only thing that helps is just having a follower, having followers, because that is a numbers game at the end of the day. If you can work on the table, hey, I've got 70,000 followers.
Yeah.
They're not looking at you sideways. Whereas if I said, I've got, how much followers have I on Instagram? Like 6,000? I'd be like, what's 10? Because what people, a lot of marketing people do, they do, can she bring 5 or 10%?
Yeah.
So it really is a numbers game. But that shouldn't put people off achieving things or striving. But at the end of the day, it is a numbers game. Yeah. Especially when it comes to Black people. And it's really sad.
Yeah. And if I'm being 100% transparent, I hope you don't mind me saying this, Vic, but we've even had conversations where we're like, we need to, like, step our Instagram pages up. And for me, like, before starting the podcast, like, my Instagram was literally, like we spoke about ages ago, like, I was literally posting pictures of, like, a chocolate spread. Like, that my Instagram was like Facebook for me, if you get what I mean. Like, just, you know, just the dry, like, oh, look at what I saw today. Oh, picture of a car. Like, stuff like that. But it's gotten to a point where it's like, when you clock, it's a numbers game. You're like, okay, maybe I need to just be a little bit more marketable is the right word. It's not even strategic. It's like, these companies, obviously for them, when they're talking about gamble, risk, they're going to ask these questions like, is this person marketable, or can we make money from them, basically? So it's like, you almost have to evidence it beforehand. Like, you need to show them, like, yeah, I am marketable, I am this, I am that. So it's like, it's so difficult, because I would love to be able to say, you know, if you just work hard, you will get there. But you also have to work smart. Like, you have to look at the bigger picture. You have to see it from their point of view. Like, yeah, your content can be amazing, but, and they will tell you that as well. They'll be like, we love your stuff, but what are you doing? Like, are you doing live shows? Are you doing...
Yeah.
Do you get what I mean? It's insane. But yeah, that's just the nature of it.
Like, even with the podcast, I know I could be doing so much more. But I'm just like, with a full-time job, it's really hard.
It's hard.
It's really
hard. It's hard as fuck.
It's really hard.
Yeah. It's difficult. It really is. It's not easy at all. So that's why it's like, yeah, it depends on what you're trying to achieve. It's weird, because when we started the podcast, it wasn't about money.
Yeah, we didn't even know it was
yeah, it was never about the money for us. But when you realize there is money to be made, you're like, oh, okay, cool. I want to be financially free, my nigga.
Yeah. No, I hear that, but it's hard. I don't think if you want to, no offense to podcasts. I mean, I don't know how much people are making, but I don't think if you want to be financially free, podcasting is the way to go. Not to say you shouldn't.
It's possible.
Do you know what? Because I don't want to be, you know, those influencers. I'll never forget one influencer. I'll never fucking forget. Somebody said to her, is it too late to become an influencer? She said, yeah, it's too late. I just feel like the whole place is saturated. I said, do you know why she said that? She doesn't want to share her money with y'all.
Yeah, she doesn't.
So I don't want to be like that. But I just, I don't think, if you're thinking, I want to get money out, if anything, Instagram is where you need to go, not podcasts.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, 100%. I could be wrong. I could be very wrong.
No, I think... ultimately, it comes down to race, as everything does. I think if you're white, it's going to be a lot easier for you to make money through podcasting. Yeah. That's just the plain and simple truth. Because
our podcast has black on it. So I'm pretty sure that probably turns a lot of people off.
Absolutely.
Black?
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. Like, I think from the outsider's perspective, when they see black girls living, they automatically think, okay, yeah, we don't like that, basically. Mm-hmm. But obviously, they're not for us if that's the case. It's
and I suppose I wonder how much that complexion plays as well. Like, if I was lighter,
because
I know I'm dark skinned, like quite dark. And I'm like, if I was lighter, what would things look differently?
Yeah.
But, you know, I can't put myself in that space. I just have to thank God, like, look how far I've gotten. And, you know.
100%. Like, we've been so, like, blessed. That's mm-hmm. one thing that's been undeniable. Like, I think we both recognise, like, how fortunate we've been.
Mm-hmm. And even, like, people being, like, we've had people giving us feedback, or two people being like, oh, you need to talk about sex and all this stuff more, and you get more listeners.
Mm.
And I'm like, so you want us to change what we talk about?
Yeah.
And, like, basically, one time we had a conversation with someone, and it was basically like, me and Jazz don't play the game.
Yeah.
That's what someone said to us. Yeah. Like, you don't play the game. And, like, they were saying that they were disappointed, and I said, oh, you're not playing the game enough. Mm. I'm thinking, what fucking game?
Mm-hmm.
And it made me think to Jazz, like, oh, shit, we're really real. And I hate people like, oh, I'm so real, but it's like, nah, shit. Maybe it might be a bit too real.
Yeah.
Because
and it definitely, I think it threw us for a bit. Like, it kind of made us feel,
what, like, is the point of doing this?
Yeah. Like, for a good 2 weeks, I would even say a month. Like, I think I was the one that was a bit shaken up more in the beginning. But I think after a while, I think once you started to take in what they said, I think it started to get to you as well. So there was literally, like, probably a month, 6 weeks, where either one of us or both of us were feeling very much like, should we even continue, kind of thing? Because it was just so, like, disheartening.
Mm. It was really disheartening, because it made me think that that person was looking at us like, well, they'll never get far, because they're not talking about sex and relationships, or they're not. Do you know what made me feel like? That conversation just made me feel like I was just a boring person. And it made me feel like I was the issue, because it was more targeted at me.
It made Do you think?
Yeah, no, it was.
I don't think it was.
It was, because you spoke about stuff. I think it was, but I don't really care, because at the end of the day, I'm being me. And if people don't like that I don't talk about stuff like that, then don't listen to the podcast. It's not there's better podcasts to listen to that talk about those kind of things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, people listen because they genuinely fucks with us. So if it was about the content, then, boy, well, I mean, I don't know what y'all doing. Are y'all hate listening? I don't know.
Hate listening. I don't know how people hate listening to podcasts. That's an hour.
Yeah. That's a
you
lot.
Hate yourself.
That's a lot of dedication.
You must hate
to hate listen. So I don't know, I definitely, in hindsight, like, I've taken it with a pinch of salt, but at the time it really did make me think, fuck, like, what the hell. It definitely made me feel like, okay, so basically we're never gonna make it. That's what you're telling us.
I mean, I know a podcast is gonna do amazing things in the future, but the podcast just remains how it is now. That's all right with me. But I know it's not, because I know it's going to do amazing things.
Oh, we'll get there in Jesus' name. What else did I want to talk about this week? Hold on, let me check my notes. Did I write anything in my notes? No, I didn't. I don't really know what else to talk about this week. This was really a ranting. I wouldn't even say ranting, but this was the real.
Yeah, quite real.
This reminded me of, like, our Instagram lives.
Yeah, Oh, yeah.
Kind of thing. Like, this is the kind of stuff we would probably talk about.
Spill the tea. No, it reminds me, Complex did a list where they had, like, all these podcasts last year.
Oh, yeah.
And they had, like, music and culture podcasts. And I'm, by the way, before I start this conversation, I'm not saying Black Girls Didn't Should Be On There. Cool, we talk about culture stuff. That'd be great. But, guys, we've been on their list. We've been on The Guardian. I'm happy with our media coverage. I'm happy. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, I would never be like, I demand that shit. Please, God has given it to me and fulfilled. Of course, yeah, sure. I want more. I want to be on the front cover. Yeah. But, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And also, we've been recognized by Black publications, like Black Ballad. So, then, so Complex put this list together, and I want to 100% say that Off the Cuff is the UK's best music podcast.
Yeah.
Period. Like, I strongly believe that. Strongly believe that. I think them two have a wealth of music knowledge that is insane.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're very honest with their reviews. They never sugarcoat stuff. They don't even sugarcoat it if it's a UK person. They even record in a studio. They record in a music studio, basically. And sometimes...
But you said where they can post up.
yeah. And they don't care. And I appreciate them. I think they're so sick. And I feel like they when I saw them on that list, I was thinking, yes.
Mm.
Yes. And there's a lot of other people on there as well. And at the time, people were dragging it, being like, oh, this is shit because certain podcasters are not on here. Okay. So that means the whole list is shit. Are you all right?
Yeah.
So then they republished the article. Not republished, sorry. They shared it again on social media. Had the same backlash. And it just makes you think, just because your favourite is not on the thing doesn't mean the whole thing's shit. Even people said to us, oh, Black Girls Living should be on this list. Thank you. I really, really appreciate that. In fact, keep on saying that. I appreciate it. But that person was really lovely because they said Black Girls Living should be on this list. It wasn't Black Girls Living should be on this list. Everyone else is shit.
Yeah. Yeah. Some people were really like just dismissing the whole list because their favourites were not on it. And it's like, okay.
Then Complex did the list again.
Yeah, for 2021. And it was the same shit.
And it was the people who people were complaining should be on there. And they were on there. And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But it's like, are you just giving in to what people are saying?
Yeah. Yeah. Because even the way they did it was like, here, take it. Like, you could tell Complex had enough. They were like, fuck it. But it's like, that to me is like where the issue lies. Like, this is why there will be that mentality of there can only be one at a time. Because of stuff like that. Like, we really need to open and shine our eyes very well. Like, it's... Because what these companies do, or people that work for these companies, they do watch social media. And they will, and it's the cheat code. I'm not going to lie. Like, if a company said to me, Jasmine, I want you to find me 10 potential podcasts to invest in, the first thing they're going to do is go on social media and say,
that's so sad.
Who are people talking about? That's what they're going to do. Who's got the biggest following? When Complex writes a list like that, they're going to say, what are people saying? So it's like, we need to really stand behind as many Black podcasts as we can. Shout about them. Shout about them loud. Even if you think, oh, I only have one or two followers. Oh, I don't have a big following. It doesn't matter. If you can, if you're comfortable, shout them out. Say, yo, I really like this podcast. Yeah, I think you should work with that. Like, all the people, bless your souls, that are saying to Kaz, oh, please go on Black Girls Living. Like, thank you so much. It's so the sweetest cute, thing, honestly.
So cute. Even I was watching her live and I saw it and I was like, you lot, man.
Yeah, you lot are proper kind.
We appreciate you guys. We really do.
Yeah. But yeah, I would never want anyone to basically dismiss a list because we're not on it. Please.
Please don't.
Please don't.
Never do that, guys.
Yeah.
But we know the nature of the game. If a talent doesn't want to come on our podcast, yeah, sometimes it might not even be the talent. It might be their manager being like, this podcast is not big enough. They might not reach that audience. Like,
there's a lot. One day we'll be able to even speak more about it, maybe in one of our lives, but I think that there's a lot more to podcasting than meets the eye, is what I will say.
If honestly, just like what you do. Yeah. At the bare minimum, because...
Yeah, please, only do a podcast stuff, if you're going to enjoy it.
Mm.
Yeah.
Alrighty.
Right, shall we get into Black XO? Someone has literally, just as we're speaking about it, I've just seen a notification of someone saying, Kaz, we would love to see Kaz and Tyler and Black Girls Living. They've been riding since day one.
Oh my God.
That is so cute.
Oh, Kaz, I hope you don't get your hopes up, boy. Sorry.
Don't kill me. No, but it's facts though. Like, not even in a bad way. Like, but these, once they have management and stuff, they're obviously gonna be, like, they're gonna make plans for them and stuff. And sometimes it's just we just won't be in the plans. There's nothing wrong with that.
Mm.
It's not gonna stop us from supporting.
Yeah, of course. It
just is what it is.
We wish them well. Yeah, we really do. And they looked good at the NTAs.
Yeah, they looked amazing.
I was watching that live and I was like, get off. The two of you log off this live right now.
I know.
Yeah, after something.
Yeah. I was like, you look, I even said to Vic, I said, like, I genuinely have to stand. Like, genuinely.
Yeah.
Like, I might need to start my own Instagram page.
I'm dead. Not to stand. Liberty looked amazing. So to Jasmine, Hunt is here to stay. Like, career, longevity, to stay. I know a lot of you wanted us to do a debrief on the reunion show. We won't because it was shit.
Yeah, sorry. We can't. I was thinking, you know what? Maybe we should just do the one-off episode on the reunion. But guys, we're going to just complain the whole episode. And it's just not... Let's not bring that energy. Let's just not do it.
Yeah, it was... Ah, God. How can I have secondhand embarrassment from home? Because they didn't have a laughing track. Oh, God.
Oh, my goodness. Listen, Laura Whitmore was fighting for her life on Instagram.
Oh, stories, boy, yeah.
Yeah. Like, she's seeing everything, which I feel bad about, but... I'm like, as a host, I'm sorry, you can't be biased. And I shouldn't be seeing your bias so clearly. I don't and like that.
It doesn't help that when they do After Sun, they get all these guests who completely hated Kaz.
Yeah.
Not hated is a strong word, but like, didn't see it for her.
Yeah, they never had a kind word to say about their relationship.
And then, so I watched the last one, and they had Big Zeus, who is a mixed race guy. And I was like, okay. This guy, you know, he might be on code and he might say, you know, Kaz and Tyler for the win, you know.
Yeah.
He would say, no, I don't understand. He even said something like, oh, yeah, he didn't make her the girlfriend. I said, you're even from London. You know how relationships work.
Yeah.
I said, nah, this is too much. This is too
only
much.
For Tyler to fuck around and ask her to be his girlfriend in front of family where it matters. In the real life.
Okay.
Anyways,
I'm happy that show is over because the bondage you had on me. I might not tweet next year about it, you know. Do you know why? Because I don't want to look like a Love Island beg.
Love Island beg? Are you crazy?
No, I don't. I don't want to look like a Love Island beg. Like, I don't look like I want to be a Love Islander. I want to be an Islander.
No.
Like,
Vic,
I don't want it to be like, oh, people are like, oh, Victoria Simmons, oh, Love Island. Mm-mm. Next year I might stop because
I don't think it comes across that way at all, Vic. Yeah,
because I stand black women, it's like, oh, you're begging her. I'm like, well, who else is going to fucking support her? No, you know.
if that means begging, then I'm a beggar for life. What the fuck?
Yeah, I'm thinking I might withdraw a little bit next year. Also, sometimes tweeting about it makes me feel like I've watched porn. You know, when you feel a bit disgusting after you watch porn.
How can you say that? Yeah, but yeah, I get what you mean. Like, even me as like we've done the mini souls this year. Like, I was so happy about it. Like, I'm proud of us for doing it. But even I was like, I'm not sure if I'm feeling the way Love Island handled certain things this season. So it's like, even I would feel a bit overwhelmed. Mm. Like, is this something I should continue? Like, obviously, if I'm not gonna lie, I'm gonna watch it next year. That's what I'm gonna do. But is it something that, you know, should we be making minisodes on it? If you get what I mean. Like, I don't know.
How is it awful that they're racist?
I know, it's not even that, but it's like, I feel like, am I, obviously it's nothing to do with you, Vic, it's just my own thoughts, but it's like, am I condoning this? Do you get what I mean? Like, yeah. by talking about it, by like opening conversations or whatever, it's like, am I saying that I'm okay with it?
Mm. Yeah, I heard
that. Even if I'm saying on the podcast that I'm not, by continuing to engage or whatever, am I saying it's okay?
It's a hard one because it is a massive public event.
Yeah, it's huge. Yeah. It's like, it would feel weird to not acknowledge it at all.
Yeah. Anyways, let's move on from it because I don't want to spend too long. Do you have like excellence this week?
Yeah, I have a couple. Right, so my first one is rapper Jords Online. He was giving away school uniforms to kids, and his music is actually really good as well. So, yeah, shout out to him, support him. If you can, BBC article, yeah, where they didn't even say his name.
Oh, Jazz, not you as well.
Hmm.
You can't say it in the headline.
Why?
Rapper Jords.
Yeah, why can't he say?
You could say rapper Jords, but if you were to say Jords gives clothes to who's, I'm sure he's got his fan page. I'm sure he's known, but the wider audience. Don't be rude. He's not a household name.
It's true, but wouldn't you say Jords the rapper? No.
You could say that. Okay, they definitely could have said that. But a lot of people are like, why didn't they say his name? Oh, someone rewrote the headline was like Jords. Maybe I'm angry because this is something that happened to me before. So I've got this. About this black artist in America.
Yeah.
And when you work at BuzzFeed, the headlines, the format is this woman did, this artist did, this person did.
Okay, yeah.
I remember I wrote an article about Kelechi, and it wasn't even a feature, it was a news article actually. It was awful incident. Someone sent horse poo to Kelechi's house time ago or her studio. So I'm not gonna write the headline. Kelechi was sent at the time. Maybe Kelechi got a bigger audience now, but at the time, it's not that people didn't know who Kelechi was, but for it to get the wider reach, you're not going to put a first name.
But that's, I guess, if that's what you're saying, it's to do with guidance then, isn't it? Like, this is the house guide.
Yeah, this is the house guide.
Yeah.
But I had a lot of, like, people who followed Kelechi cussing me, being like, why did you write this woman? I was like, firstly, I'm the only journalist who wrote about the situation. I'm the only journalist who reached out to her for a comment. And even Kelechi was like, I explained to Kelechi, I was like, by the way, just in case you think I'm being rude with this headline, this is the house guide. I can't say Victoria Sunusi on the headline. Like, who the fuck is that?
Yeah.
Like, I think sometimes people think that, oh, there was an agenda. No, if there was an agenda, they wouldn't have written the article. I promise you that. So sometimes I think people just launch it to, oh my God, there was an agenda here. They're so racist. Yes, I know. Yes, I know.
I'm finished. And also, Dave sold out the O2 Arena in 4 minutes.
Wow.
So shout-outs to Dave.
Wow. Well,
I didn't even get to see the Ticketmaster website.
Yeah, I went on it. I went to go look at the ones in Scotland and Manchester, and it was, like, sold out as well. Yeah.
There we go.
In the Manchester one, I was 2000th. Person in the queue.
Bloody hell. Right, if who are yours this week?
I don't think I have one. I'm just going to say big up to everyone at Black to Front Project, behind the scenes. It was amazing.
Yeah, shout out to them. Also, just another reminder, guys, if you wouldn't mind voting for us for the Urban Music Awards, the link is in our bio on our Instagram. Sorry, it's such a pain because you do have to create an account in order to vote. I hope we are worth creating an account for. But yeah, if you could vote for us, we would really appreciate it.
And also...
Yeah, go ahead.
I can't remember what I was going to say. Actually, and also, if anybody knows a good gel for hair, please let me know, because I tried all the gels and it's not working.
What is it that you're... like, are you looking for an alcohol-free gel, or is it... you just want one that is good?
Like, you know when you want to put a ponytail on?
Okay. I've heard the gummy wax, the red one.
That's what I used on Friday.
And it wasn't good.
Hours. Yeah. I'll figure it out. All right, lads. Yeah. Have a lovely week. See you later.
Take care. Bye.